Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Everybody's doing the fish. Yeah.
Better.
Everybody's doing the fish.
Welcome back, everybody. Yeah. It is Tobin and Leroy here with you on 7-9 Ticket. Leroy did Bolt last hour. He'll be back tomorrow. So we'll get into a little Marlins talk. You go out to the Toyota of Hollywood guest line, shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors, one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Robbie and I have been talking about it all morning, how different it felt last night watching a game with some playoff juice to it. And I'm sure this guy felt it as well. Paul Severino, television broadcaster for your Miami Marlins, joins us there. Did it feel bigger last night, Paul? Like were you on edge with everything? Because that's how Robbie and I were texting after every pitch, everything that was going on late in the innings. Were you heartbroken after blowing the big lead? Like, did yesterday feel different and bigger to you?
Yeah, it certainly has, and thanks for having me. Good to talk with you guys again. It's felt that way now for, well, most of the season, actually. But, yeah, especially this series in Atlanta. You know, it's one thing to, you know, let's just say be playing the Nationals and wonder what the Braves are doing somewhere else. It's a whole other thing to have it all right in front of you right there. Listen, the Braves are a hell of a team and have been for quite some time. So you knew that going into Atlanta when they had something on the line too. I mean, it's not just the Marlins fighting for a playoff spot and the Braves already have something locked up. I mean, Braves are trying to, you know, secure their own division title here too. So it's going to be intense. Kind of figured that going in, but it's been fun. And I think that it's without question. You're hoping for the best, but without question, it's going to be character building stuff for where this organization is headed for many years to come.
What was the more heartbreaking moment to you yesterday? Was it Marte's bullet that gets caught or Monte getting thrown out at third?
Oh man. I think it was probably the Marte line drive. Because I think right there, if it's Donnie said it after the game, I think if it's a couple of feet, you know, above Riley or even a couple feet to his right or left, I don't know if he's able to react to it. I mean, that ball was right at him. I mean, that was thrown in the backyard with your dad, you know, right at him in the chest. Like it was with a little more heat on it, unless your dad throws 111 miles an hour. But I mean, it was unbelievable. I think that if it gets down in the corner, probably clears the bases, at least scores two. And in terms of the Monte play, I think that's a play that, you know, Donnie said it after the game. Todd said it on the air last night. Monte after the game. I mean, that's just kind of – that's how this team is. You know, I think that's one of those things where – everything had to go right for the Braves, and everything did go right. Sometimes as athletes, and I certainly am not one, but as athletes, you know, you trust your athleticism, you trust your baseball IQ. You know, the old baseball adage is never make the first or third out at third base. That was the second out of the inning. You know, I mean, that gets him into scoring. He was in scoring position, but potentially could get him to third. You know, when a sac fly could tie the game. Swanson had to recognize it and get over to third. Freeman had to recognize it and put himself in a position to throw. He looked like Matt Ryan out there. He hit a moving target, and Swanson then has to make the catch and make the tag, and they had to go to replay. It was that close. I mean, it's hard to fault it. I know it's probably frustrating to give out an out on the bases, but I think that it's that this team has played with that kind of energy and that kind of, you know, I don't want to call it reckless abandon, but with that sort of flair to make the defense work, you know, and make the defense move and make plays. And, you know, last night you tip your cap, they made a play.
Yeah, I felt crushed for Monte too, because you could just see the look on his face on the bench, because he was trying to make something happen. He's in there, you know, specifically because they want to speed things up. And, you know, he's a young guy. He's talked about, you know, he came out of the gate talking about, like, we're not going to be bottom feeders anymore and stuff like that. So, you know, he wears this stuff heavy. So I'm sure that had to be crushing for him, and them having to pick him up afterwards.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that, you know, the way this team has gone, I don't remember if I said it on air last night or on some other media outlet, I forget at this point. But, you know, I think that there's no one clear-cut Cy Young winner on this team. There's no one clear-cut MVP of the league on this team. It's been a little bit of everybody, or a lot bit of everybody throughout the year. You know, and for Monte these last few weeks, 3 weeks, month, however long it's been for him, that's kind of been his role. And that's an important role to have. You know, he's not putting up 30 home runs right now, and that's fine. But what he's doing is stealing big bases. He's on there to score tying runs, game-winning runs. He was on there. He scored when Alfaro knocked him in last week. You know, I mean, that is his role for now. He's not going to be a pinch for the next 20 years of his career. But for right now, that's what his role is. He's done a great job with it. And again, you know, I think it's got to feel good to each of these guys, whether you're asked to be, you know, a key part of the rotation, Sixto, Sandy, Pablo, or whether you're asked to be a pinch runner. You know, I think that it's everybody's job and everybody's role is so important and so vital and so magnified at this point in time that, yeah, I mean, you feel for the kid who just wants to contribute and be a part of it. And, you know, more times than not on the bases has done that this year.
Hey, Paul, I feel like listening to you guys yesterday during that at bat, I feel like you guys are setting up a Monte Harrison stolen base. You're talking about how Melanson's slow to the plate and Flowers historically has not been good at throwing guys out at second base. And I thought Matt Joyce is going to let Monte try to steal second. Were you surprised like I was when he puts the ball in play?
Yeah, I mean, I never know. Like when there's times that I ask a question and I kind of know the answer, but I'm just, you know, being good broadcaster and setting up the analyst. And then there's other times where I honestly don't know the answer. And I'm giving Todd a chance to, you know, give his thoughts as to what would happen. And you know, I don't know. I think usually in a situation like that, you know, you always say, well, you don't put in a pinch runner unless you're going to run. But at the same time, like how frisky do you want to get on the bases? So I wasn't sure. I mean, I could see it both ways. You know, I think that it was probably going to be a situation where he ran at some point. But I don't know without looking it up how many times Monte has been on first base with Melanson on the mound. So maybe he needed a pitch to kind of gauge his move or whatever it was. So, you know, if it was the first or second pitch and it was a pitch that, you know, Joyce thought he could drive, I mean, I don't think he was trying to smack it into the ground. He's not that, you know, Baltimore chop kind of hitter. I think it might have just been, you know, not the contact that he was looking for. So, you know, it might have just been – it might have been in the plans, in the works, if a pitch is outside or there's a breaking ball or something that was, you know, in the dirt. Maybe it was the second pitch or the third pitch. But, you know, that's something you probably have to ask Monte in terms of him getting a read on it. But, yeah, I mean, I think that it was certainly possible. It probably would have happened at some point. But, you know, unless Monte's been in the league for 25 years and has seen Melanson 1,000 times over at first base, he may have just been trying to get a gauge on his move for the first or second pitch.
We're talking to Paul Severino, and you guys can watch them all take on the Braves tonight on Fox Sports Florida. 7:10 first pitch. The coverage will get going at 6:30 with the Marlins pregame show. They do an outstanding job. I want to take you back to this weekend. Brian Anderson's 3 home run game as a broadcaster. How cool is that, calling that accomplishment?
Yeah, it's awesome, dude. I mean, for him, he's such a good kid. I mean, we miss the moments that we get to hang out with these guys and talk to them around the cage and all that connecting that we're fortunate enough to do on a daily basis. We haven't been able to do that. But, you know, Brian's been a big part of this organization for a few years now. I've been fortunate to call, I think, every one of his home runs, or just about every one of his home runs. So for him to get one of those 3 homer nights was cool. Only the third Marlin to do it. And I think that, listen, the organization loves him. I love him. We all love him in South Florida. He's a grinder. They call him the psycho. I mean, he's intense. You know, that's the thing. I think that for where the Marlins are headed, they have a lot of nice guys on the team, and that's great, and that's certainly good for us as broadcasters because they'll always talk to us, whether they're going good or going bad. That's great. But I think once you get in between the white lines on the field, you need guys that have that kind of fire and that passion and a little bit of that anger and fire in their belly, if you will. And Andy's definitely got that. And I think that for as much as we talk about, and for good reason, talk about Mickey being the heart and soul of this team, Andy certainly seems to be kind of that attitude edge that they have too. I think Alfaro's got a little bit of that in him too. You know, you need those kind of guys who are going to ask a lot of themselves and are frustrated when they don't get it. And I think that, you know, for most of August, that was kind of the case with Andy, but something clicked with him. And, he's been as expected he would be this year, which is a big part of the offense. And for him to have such a big night like that was really fun to watch. And, I hope he's around for a while. It's not my money to spend, but I hope he's around for a while. He's a good guy.
How has it been, Paul? How's it been calling this season from the standpoint of the schedule? I mean, it's had to been absolutely bananas, all the doubleheaders. I know the games are seven innings, which I've actually kind of liked as a baseball fan. The seven inning games have been kind of fun, but just the idea of how many days you've had to go in and broadcast a couple of games just to kind of catch up with everything that happened at the start of the year.
It's been a grind. There's no doubt about it, but you know, I say it a lot. Like it certainly beats having a real job. I mean, some broadcasters will do other sports in the baseball off season. I am not one of those guys. So like I pretty much do not a lot. So if you think about it, and this is me not complaining, by the way, when you think about it. So we finished up last year, I think it was like September 29th, but we'll call it October. So October, November, December, January, February, I did nothing. Then I went to spring training a few times and chatted and caught up with guys or whatever. Did one spring training game. The second one got canned because everything shut down. Then we start the season. So now I really haven't done work in March, April, May, June, and most of July. Then I work for 2 months, and then I'm off for another six. So I think it's like an 18-month stretch where I'm only working for 2 months. So I accept the grind that we have for these 2 months of baseball. And, you know, there was certainly a point in time where we thought that maybe there wasn't even going to be a baseball season this year. So, you know, it's a lot. I live about 45 minutes from the ballpark, so it's a lot of time in the car. But, listen, like I said at the beginning, it beats having a real job. So I'm happy to do it. And I'm also glad that they're kind of in the race right now. I think if we were going through everything that we were going through and watching some lousy baseball and a lot of losses, then I think it would be a lot more frustrating than it is. But it's exciting. And however they got to it with six games left, that they're in a postseason spot, doesn't really matter. They're six games left and they're in a postseason spot. That's what matters.
What is the biggest thing that you lose out on when you're calling games remotely for these road games and not being there? What is the biggest loss from that?
Well, specifically last night, like the Marte ball was hit so hard that that I couldn't track it with my eyes. I had to rely on the camera and the directors in Atlanta to cut it, and it was hit so hard that it was already caught, and Riley was already walking off the field by the time that they cut to third base. You know, so like one of those things where you think off the bat, it's a rocket, it's in the corner, it's a double, it's three runs. And then you see Riley coming off the field and you're like, oh, that stinks. That was like a specific example of being on the road. But, you know, I think that what we all miss out on from a broadcast perspective, and it ties into the fan perspective too, I think, you know, and it's all for a good reason. We get it. We respect it. Not having people in the stands. I think back to Sixto's, I think it was his first start in Miami, and he struck out 10. And it was, you know, they do a great job in the ballpark of turning up the fake crowd noise and everything else. But it felt like he got to like 7, 8, 9, 10 strikeouts. And it's sort of like he got there in a blink of an eye. And it was just like, wait a second. Like there was no fan build of that, you know, as they're kind of following along this thing. And yeah, I think we miss out on that too. I think I would certainly hope, you know, at this point that if fans were in the stands, and I kind of say this to myself every time we walk out of the building every night, like looking around the building, like the way that we walk out from home plate and then walk out around the concourse out toward right field. So like on the concourse, I'm sure you've been to the ballpark, you can see the field and you just like, I look up in the seats and I'm thinking, man, if it was, you know, early September, mid-September, now late September, and there were games in this ballpark and this team was where they are, man, I just wish that this place would be rocking, and it's not. And, you know, that kind of stinks. And but hopefully, you know, people do what they have to do so we can get back to some semblance of normal in the real world. And then hopefully that trickles into the baseball world. And, you know, I know that the Marlins are set up great for the next, you know, however many years. And this is not a, you know, the way that it had been in the past, a flash in the pan. This is not like a one and done. This is, you know, something that they've been talking about and building for quite some time now. And I know people were frustrated with the way things went in between 17 and 18, but it, you know, it was four runs like this so that this doesn't happen every 17 years, that this happens every, you know, 10 months, you know, and every 12 months and every July, they're doing something at the deadline to help the big league club. And every September they're in the race. And hopefully every October they're playing baseball. That's the hope. So hopefully this is, they got work to do, but hopefully this is the first of many to come.
Before we get you out of here, Paul, and you guys again, catch Paul Severino, Todd Hollinsworth on the call tonight, 7:10 first pitch, Marlins and Braves, Fox Sports, Florida. Before we get you out of here, best guest, will Jose Urania plunk Ronald Acuna tonight?
God, I hope not. I hope not. I don't know why that he would. I don't think it's a personal vendetta. And this Braves offense is just too good. I mean, I can't see it happening. Certainly not in a tight game, and that's what you'd be hoping for. I think everybody's kind of past that now. I mean, I don't necessarily want to rehash it, but I'll say what I said when it happened. I mean, I think that Acuna was just extremely locked in for a week period of time. And, you know, you watch Urania, you see where he throws. A lot of his balls go, you know, inner third to a righty and keep going in. And
I know, but it's also got to be a thing. Like, I think it was the YouTube broadcast, actually, the last when they have to get, like, I know Urania's just wild, but at this point, like, do you think Acuna even cares? He's just like, come on, man. But
You're right. I've never had 95 or 96 coming at my hand, so I don't know. I'm sure if I were Acuna Jr., I would sleep well at night knowing that the bills are taken care of. But I would also, you know, probably be frustrated with that. But at the same time, if you step back and look at it from 30,000 feet, I mean, when Jose misses, he misses there, and unfortunately, that he was in that spot and really hot at the time. And, you know, say it all the time, you got to make these guys move their feet. If they're that comfortable, you got to move their feet. What you never like to see is guys go at guys' heads and potentially end careers. I mean, it's one thing to take, you know, 94 in the butt cheek and, it, you know, be able to walk it off. It's another thing to get plunked in the head. Listen, Marlins know about that with Stanton, right? It's a scary thing. It's not anything to joke about. I don't think that that's necessarily the plan with Urania. Or was even at the time, and I don't think now with everything that's on the line, this Braves offense does not need any spark, any extra base runner right about now. They're absolutely on fire offensively. So I hope it doesn't happen, and I certainly don't think it would happen on purpose.
Paul, thanks for the time, man. Catch up tonight with Todd Hollinsworth. Again, 7:10 first pitch, 6:30 starting the coverage on Fox Sports Florida, Marlins and Braves, big one tonight. Thanks for the time, Paul. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure, boys. Talk to you soon.
All righty. Robbie, fantastic job, man. We will talk to everybody tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your day, everybody.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.